Well, this morning we continue looking at Jesus' teaching on prayer. We'll look at an aspect of the prayer as one that actually changes the world. So this morning we want to begin with Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, the Lord's Prayer, as we know, can become a prayer that's repeated very often, and it can be done without thought. We could recite it through memory rather than a prayer from the heart. And yet the content that Jesus gives can cause it to be a divine force that unleashes God's blessing. We could pray, "Your kingdom come," without any regard for the intention of these words by Jesus. Or we could pray, "Your kingdom come," and hear the difference. The words themselves can transform. That's the power that we're looking for. But how can the words, "Your kingdom come," be a prayer that literally changes the world? We all know that Jesus wants us to pray this, but do we fully understand what it is that we're praying? And what would we do if God began to answer our prayer? These three words lead us to be involved in a gospel conspiracy to take over the world. These three simple words. It's a prayer that changes the makeup of the universe when it begins from your very heart and it moves out to the world around us. We are praying that the world would be transformed, that more people would discover Jesus for themselves. I wonder, are we ready for that? How would we be if all of a sudden we had another 30 people came and joined us this morning? Another 30 people who don't know Christ yet. How would we respond? Would we be ready for God's kingdom to come, to start expanding like that? I want to look at the biblical truths about the kingdom of God as it's revealed in Scripture, and hopefully it opens our heart, our mind, and our spirit to see that we can be a part of changing this world. The kingdom of God is about the reign of God. It means all the territory that's in his reign, or rather in his realm. His territory includes the whole universe. But of course, not everyone recognizes that God reigns. Not everybody recognizes God's realm either. You see, the kingdom of God has always existed. God has always been on the throne. Nothing has changed as far as that's concerned. In fact, Psalm 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." We have it very clearly printed in the Scriptures. Wherever God is, there is his rule and reign. You know, so even for anyone who doesn't submit to his reign, the kingdom of God still exists. It doesn't change that. For those who resist the Spirit of God reaching into their heart, the kingdom of God will still exist, and his purposes will continue to move forward. God's reign is not dependent on whether you or I accept and believe in him. He rules through creation. The heavens obeyed him. The wind and the waves obey him. The beasts of the earth obey him. God is working through all these things for our good. So the person who accepts the reign of God and prays, "Your kingdom come," is surrendering their will to having God in their life. This prayer changes the world through our conviction that God must be glorified. He must be honoured in our hearts and also in the hearts of others. The kingdom of God was made known to us personally through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus, our King has come to earth. On the cross, Jesus shed his blood for you and I. That is all the people who would trust in him. He'd done it for all mankind, but not everybody has responded to that. But let's say yet that we're looking for more to respond. When Jesus was raised to life on the morning of his resurrection, a victory was won. When he ascended back to heaven, we weren't just left to our own devices. He gave the Holy Spirit to personally live within us. In fact, Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19 has a wonderful description of this, where Paul says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." You know, the people of God were supernaturally empowered by Jesus to share the good news of his gospel. Now, if you're familiar with C.S. Lewis's book, or even the movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he retells this truth in a different way within the story. Through the baddie, who's the witch, who goes around the inhabitants of Narnia, and he turns them into frozen statues. They can't do a thing. They're just left there frozen. That's what she does. She goes around, just freezes people. Where they become of no use. They're not moving around anymore, they're not interacting anymore, they're just frozen. But one of the children, that's Lucy in the story, was given the power to bring them back to life. And when we relate that today to many, today many people are frozen, are cold towards God. And it may be a lack of understanding, or perhaps they've had a negative experience with other Christians, something that's left them distant, or perhaps even frozen towards God. So you see, that's why God has empowered us today by his Holy Spirit to pour out his breath of life, that we may help, in a way, defrost those who in their lives have become frozen, distant, that they would become part of his kingdom. Even now, as the creche, the Bible club, and the youth hear about the love of Christ through those who teach them, God is at work. When we share our faith with a friend or a neighbour, God is working. In each of these ways, the kingdom will come. If you pray, "Your kingdom come," you're inviting the King, Jesus, to move in your life and in the life of others, that he may breathe his Holy Spirit into their lives. This is what changes the world. People today are still confused about the kingdom of God, just as they were in Jesus' day. Jesus was once asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. In Luke 17, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. The Pharisees were expecting a revolution, something that would bring in the kingdom of God. And Jesus explains here that it's not about armies, it's not about battles, or even land, money, or power, because the kingdom of God lies within you and it grows from there. We are to encourage it to grow from that place where it sits. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," We are also praying for the fulfillment of the kingdom by the return of Christ and the restoration of all things. Jesus came once on this earth, but he's coming back again. He is coming back again. The kingdom of God comes through prayer. The very fact that Jesus instructs us to pray for the kingdom shows that his rule and his reign in our lives and in our world is partly dependent on our prayers. He wants us to be involved in that. And you know, this in itself is revolutionary. That the kingdom will come through your prayers and mine. Isn't that amazing? You and I, we can be part of seeing God's kingdom come today. You know that God is able to bring in his kingdom without you and me. And he can. But he desires that you and I pray for it. That prayer, in a way, becomes the engine of the kingdom of God. And it's fueled by us. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for faith to see things that's not yet there. But we're looking to God to fulfill that. So you see, the kingdom of God is a present reality that requires our response. As we learn what the Bible says about the kingdom of God and how this one prayer is literally changing the world. Who amongst us will pray then, your kingdom come? And really pray it with your very soul, to believe that Christ is answering, he's listening, he's hearing all the words that we utter. For us to do this is to pray a prayer that will change your world. So let's be a part of what God is doing and sincerely begin by praying this very thing, your kingdom come. There is a battle between two kingdoms. The enemy, Satan, looks to control this world and have us just accept life the way it is. He says to you, be comfortable. Don't bother yourself with this. Just let life roll on. That's the kind of things, that's the place that he wants to get you into. Just let life roll on. Don't get concerned. But you see, Jesus is a world changer. The enemy doesn't want him to change. He wants us to stay in that comfortable place. Just remain the way you are. Don't say these words. But there is power within them. Jesus is a world changer, and we shouldn't settle for less than what it is that he actually requires of us. You know, that change happens today. One person at a time. So will we be part of what God is doing in our day? This prayer has power. Don't let the enemy fool you into thinking that it's just a repetitious prayer. Something that people have been praying for centuries. It's just something that Christians do. He'll try and lull you into that false sense of security. There's no power in those words. Yes, there is. These are the words that Jesus uttered. These are the words that Jesus urges us to pray. Don't let the enemy tell you anything else. That's the truth. Begin praying, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come in me. That the evidence of the work of God would be seen. Because that's where the real change starts. It starts in each of us. There are still personal battles to be fought. Yes, we'll still continue to have struggles. But the reality is, at the cross, the devil was defeated. Battles still rage across the earth and in the hearts of men and women. But Christ is the victor. The war is won. And you know, the enemy is exposed. And he's also losing ground. And you need to realise that this morning. There are times where you look at the news, you listen to things in the media, and you think, what is happening here? Our God still reigns. Our God is still in control. Our God has won the victory through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we should never let the enemy tell us otherwise, or even the TV, whatever media source you watch. Because the enemy is exposed and he's losing ground, Christ is gaining. And at that point, when Christ returns, the enemy will be defeated once and for all. The book of Revelation speaks of the spiritual battles that will come. And I came across this quote that said, the whole book of Revelation could be summed up in three words. Jesus always wins. Jesus always wins. So let that be the words that encourage us to pursue more of Christ and His kingdom here on this earth. You know, it's humbling and it's fascinating to consider that God advances His kingdom agenda through the prayers of His people. That God would do that through you and I. Isn't that amazing? And I think sometimes we need to have that confidence that God has in us and realize we're world changers. That's what's asked of us. When we share the gospel, when we share Christ with others, when we speak of the love of Christ, or when we show actions through things like this, where people are reminded, God blessed us, so therefore we're blessing you. It's heard time and time again, and it's for us to continually make sure that that message is heard. Through you and I, absolutely wonderful. So just as Jesus instructed His disciples to pray for the kingdom to come, this should be a burden for each of us. All of us, God's people, those who love the King, who just eagerly yearn for His kingdom to come. Now I hope this morning you capture something of that, that the kingdom of God is in you, and the kingdom of God is to be extended to others. And together, the world will be changed. The world will become a different place. It won't always be the way you see it today, because God is at work, and He's at work through you and I. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that we have words today that were spoken thousands of years ago that are still relevant, that gives us insight into the work that You're doing. And Lord, we humbly thank You that You would choose the likes of us to be a part of that. Lord, help us in our daily walk to express Your kingdom come, Lord. That we would see transformation happen within the lives of our families, within our friends, our workplace, schools, college, wherever we find ourselves. Father, use us, we pray. Hear our hearts this morning. Lord, change us, transform us. May Your words be alive within us. And Lord, also pray You would protect us from the enemy's lies who would try and tell us otherwise. The one who would try and tell you, yeah, it'll work through them, but no you. That's a lie of the devil. And Father, we thank You for Your truth, because Your truth sets us free today. That we are a part of what You're doing in this day. Lord, we say, use us, that Your name would be glorified and honored. And we give You thanks for all that You're doing and for all that You continue to do. And Lord, we pray for those who we have brought before You, who we seek to bring into Your kingdom. Help us, Father, to be inspired to continue, to not give up, and to bring our family, our friends, whoever before You, that they may enter into Your kingdom, that we would see Your kingdom extended in this day. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Robbie, you want to come up for a closing praise? Thank you.